Oregon Professor Joe Lowndes. That will be at the SEIU Local 49, and it's on Southeast 26th, 3536. You can find all that information online. Facebook, you can go to Democratic Socialists of America, Portland chapter. That's Donald Trump and the working class. We've got lots coming up on KBOO, Locus Focus, Between the Lines Radio, and Radio Zine. We are the Old Mole Variety Hour, and we'll be back next week.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Real Cool Jazz film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Molly Blues, will play Thursday, April 20th at 7 p.m. The West African country of Mali is a birthplace of the blues. Today, the music and musicians of Mali are in grave danger as fundamentalist Islam and Sharia law become more widespread, dance and secular music are prohibited, musical instruments are destroyed, and musicians are forced to flee their homeland. The documentary, Molly Blues, follows four artists who are using their music to stand up to extremism and inspire tolerance and peace. Again, that's Molly Blues, Thursday, April 20th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. It is now just 10 o'clock, and you are tuned in to KBOO Portland. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Now, stay tuned for Law and Disorder.
This is Law and Disorder.
During the Obama administration, the Justice Department sought to reform police practices considered discriminatory by using a statutory tool little known by the public. So-called consent decrees were established after the Los Angeles Rodney King riots. They allow the department's civil rights division to sue local police forces that have been found to have what is called a pattern and practice of using excessive force or violating individuals' rights. The Department of Justice launches an investigation into a police department's operations, frequently after a high-profile incident, such as the 2014 shootings of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and Laquan McDonald in Chicago, Illinois. If the feds find that the departments operate with an ongoing pattern of abuse, they sue, in essence forcing the law enforcement groups to settle the cases and undergo a change to their culture, to a degree deemed sufficient by the court and the Department of Justice. Some of the more recent agreements, like those in Baltimore and Ferguson, are better known to the public, but others are not, and many have not yet seen a resolution. Out of 19 investigations carried out since 2010, for example, 6 are still considered ongoing. In 2008, Jeff Sessions said that, quote, one of the most dangerous and rarely discussed exercises of raw power is the issuance of expansive court decrees. Consent decrees have a profound effect on our legal system as they constitute an end run around the democratic process. The new Attorney General has threatened to do away with consent decrees. Joining us today to talk about consent decrees and, in general, policing in the United States is Attorney Carl Massinio. Carl is co-founder of the D.C.-based Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, a public interest legal organization that has been at the forefront in some of this country's leading police misconduct litigation. Welcome back, Carl Massinio, to Law and Disorder.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Carl, much of Eric Holder's years were spent rebuilding the Civil Rights Division, repeatedly calling it the federal agency's crown jewel. Jeff Sessions has long been a critic of Holder's policies and is threatening to undo consent decrees. What do you think the impact of this will be in the area of policing in this country?
I think it's going to be devastating for civil rights, devastating for people who live with the threat of oppression from the police, of excessive use of force, people who are in African-American communities that find themselves targeted disproportionately by police policies, that find themselves under circumstances where police are using force, including murder, including lethal force, shooting to kill at extraordinary rates that are both disproportionate racially and as well unjustified by any circumstances. I think that Jeff Sessions has really declared war on civil rights.
Now, in a minute, we're going to ask you about some of the cases that the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund has handled over the years. But in response to what you've just said, what recourse do victims of police misconduct have if consent decrees are going to be abolished, especially in certain cities such as Chicago, Baltimore, Ferguson?
Well, the recourse that people will have is twofold. One is through litigation, through the court system, by having civil rights attorneys bring civil rights lawsuits, false arrest lawsuits, wrongful death lawsuits, pattern and practice lawsuits, alleging and evidencing unconstitutional courses of conduct by municipalities and police departments. That's one way of approaching it. The other approach is street action, community activism, because both historically, both these tools historically have played a role in pushing back against unconstitutional police practices, regardless of the posture of the Department of Justice.
Talk to us about some of the cases that the Partnership for Civil Justice has handled, and how are you able to make some progress on this?
Well, for example, here in Washington, D.C., there was a long-standing pattern and practice of unconstitutional conduct, use of excessive force, in particular against persons engaged in free speech activities, which was of great significance because here in the nation's capital, so many people come to engage in lawful, peaceful protest activities. What they encountered when they came here were sweeping mass arrests, often acts of very excessive use of force that was completely unjustified against persons who were peacefully protesting. What occurred here in Washington, D.C. as a consequence of our litigation and also as a consequence of activism here is that the district introduced omnibus reform legislation. Components of that of the reform came through that legislation, and components of reform came through our litigation, through imposing equitable relief, rules that were negotiated in resolution of our constitutional rights lawsuits. As a consequence of that, there has been a substantial bulwark put in place against the mass arrests that we saw so frequently and the beatings that we saw so frequently against protesters here in Washington, D.C.
Carl, can you talk a bit about some of the recent consent agreements or consent decrees? I know Baltimore and Ferguson are two. What do you think is going to happen there?
I wanted to add, Carl, that Kevin Davis, the police chief in Baltimore, said if they take away the consent decree, he said, quote, it's a punch in the gut.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think that it's important to look at the Baltimore consent decree as a really clear example of how out of line Jeff Sessions actually is, including being out of sync with what law enforcement wants. The consent decree here in Baltimore is really a long time coming, and what the Department of Justice found in its extensive investigation, which was sparked by the death of Freddie Gray in police custody while he was being transported in a police van, what the DOJ investigation found was a pattern in practice of excessive force, disproportionate stops and frisks, use of force against African Americans, completely unjustified. What they described is really two Baltimores, the white affluent Baltimore and then the rest of Baltimore that was disproportionately affected by these unconstitutional police tactics. But what's important about Baltimore is that There was recognition in Baltimore that the system was damaged, that it was broken, that reforms were necessary. The mayor of Baltimore, the police chief in Baltimore, all support the consent decree. The consent decree imposes oversight, it imposes new training, best practices, includes mandatory cameras and police transport vans, and an emphasis on de-escalation tactics to avoid the lethal uses of force that were documented. Now, Jeff Sessions comes from above on high and sought to overturn that consent decree that was supported by everyone involved. And fortunately, his efforts were rejected by a federal district court judge just this month, who found that time was of the essence, that there could be no delay, and that the terms of this detailed and extensive consent decree were essential for the safety and welfare of the people of Baltimore.
But Sessions says that this consent decree in Baltimore, he says, quote, undermines the respect for police officers. Can you comment on that?
Well, the consent decree was supported by law enforcement, so there's no question that it is not a vehicle of disrespect. But the problems that it remedies were unconstitutional and violent policing. This is not about respect or disrespect. It is about protecting people from an out-of-control police force. In Baltimore, the Baltimore Police Department made about 44% of its stops in just two predominantly African-American districts that contained only about 11% of the population. So that what you have, as occurred in neighborhoods, you know, with that had stop and frisk in New York City also, you had African-American persons who were stopped 10, 20, and some more than 30 times just during a five-year period of study. And what's critical is that the Baltimore Police Department stops were lawless. Only 3% of the pedestrian stops actually resulted in citations or arrests. And, of course, when we move on and take a look at other components, use of force, searching. For example, African-Americans were searched far more frequently than whites. And what's curious and interesting and revealing about this is that when searched, contraband was actually found two times as frequently on white civilians who were subject to police search. So this is not being driven by fact. It's not being driven by law enforcement needs. It's being driven by discrimination and excessive authority of the police department.
Carl, a procedural question. Does Sessions actually have the authority to undo existing consent decrees? Don't the district courts oversee those?
Well, that is correct. With respect to the mechanics of a consent decree is that the parties are the Department of Justice, the federal government that comes in when local law enforcement has failed to be accountable to such a degree that there is just a situation that is explosive on the ground, and the agreement of local law enforcement. The decree is entered into on paper and then subject it needs to be approved by a federal court, by a federal judge. Once it's approved by a judge, it becomes enforceable. It is the law. It can't be undone without court approval. Now, this is significant when we take a look at the situation in Chicago, where the Department of Justice issued a scathing report against the Chicago Police Department, which historically has been a very violent and out-of-control police department. That is in a different posture than the Baltimore consent decree or the consent decrees that were negotiated with 13 other jurisdictions. With respect to Chicago, there is a highly detailed document laying out the pattern and practice of unconstitutional policing, but that has not been rolled into a detailed consent decree that's approved by a judge. That document, that finding, is really in jeopardy now. And the people who are living in Chicago are likely not going to get benefit of the best practices in police, new technology, the imposition of body cameras, the potential creation of an independent civilian review board, all of those things that are actually quite ordinary and normal responses to these things are are not going to be available to them because Sessions is seeking to prevent a court from adopting it.
I'm trying to make a sense of the fact that, given what you've just said, and that a lot of these reforms are actually welcomed by police departments, and the fact that I understand that Department of Justice investigations begin by reaching out to all officers of varying ranks and levels of authority, and to police unions, I'm trying to make sense of Sessions' animosity for this. Do you think it reflects pressure from police unions, or just wanting to have the appearance of a closer relationship with law enforcement, even though law enforcement welcomes some of these decrees?
Well, this reflects a political decision by the Trump administration that is being executed by Jeff Sessions, which is to roll back civil rights, to roll back the rule reforms that are put in place after their findings of patterns and practices of unconstitutional and violent police practices. This is a political call coming from the top by Trump, and it's going to affect everyone in all of these communities. And again, some fraternal orders of police, some police unions are quite reactionary. The one in Chicago is notoriously reactionary. But in many cases, for example, in Baltimore, law enforcement wholeheartedly supports the reforms because, in their view, the concept of constitutional policing in a civil society.
Carl Massineo, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and we hope to have you keep us up to date over the next few years about developments coming out of our Capitol.
I would be happy to, and it's always a pleasure to be with both of you.
Thanks so much, Carl. You take it easy.
Take care.
If you want to hear Law and Disorder again, go to lawanddisorder.org on the web. You should also go to Law and Disorder Radio on Facebook.